Good morning. I'm so glad to see you. This is the family of God. We all have our individual families, and God bless them and thank God for them. And this is the family of God. Jesus Christ died for the family of God, for the church. And God bless it. Please pray with me. Father, we thank you for this time that we have a place to worship you. Father, that we all have Bibles readily at hand, that we have hymn books to sing your praises. Father, truly the whole earth is full of your glory. Your care is upon us all. And we are so thankful. Cause us to be more thankful that we would be swift to praise you, that we would dwell on these things and think about them when we sit down and when we rise, that you are the King of Kings, King Jesus. Father, thank you. Please be with us today as we open your holy word, that it might accomplish that to which you send it, that it would bless your people, your bride. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, it's my great joy and privilege to share the Word of God with you today. Sometimes I feel like Paul, and I know that I used to make fun of Christians and belittle them. And when I think that the Lord has seen fit to take Jennifer and I to Cambodia, and even that I would have the opportunity to speak from God's Word, it just would have been a joke had anyone even mentioned that. For the 21 years that I was away from the Lord. And it's just a joy to speak to you. The subject today is a very familiar subject. The passage is very familiar also. But I think it's one we needed to be reminded of constantly. So if you would, please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And beginning in verse 25. And the topic is worry. Worry. Many people are filled constantly with worries. Financial worries, relational worries, fear of sickness. Their children are rebellious maybe, or just what the future holds for them. But specifically, worried about their possessions, their food and drink, their clothes. And so I think today we're going to remind ourselves what the Lord Jesus has taught to us very emphatically. So we'll begin by just reading from 25 until verse 34. And then we'll look at the specific verses. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And may God add His blessings to the reading of His Word. Okay, so let's go back to verse 25. Jesus has been having a discussion with them about money, and specifically storing up treasure on the earth. If you look back a few verses, verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth where moth and rust destroy and where the thief breaks in and steal. And now he's also said you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. You're going to love one and you're going to hate one. And that's the context here as he goes into verse 25. Therefore, and this is a command, do not be anxious. Sometimes I think we look at this like a recommendation. God's like, try not to worry. That is not what Jesus is telling us here. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. He's forbidding us to do it. Verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Jesus is teaching us about the providential care of God over the earth. Even the birds. Have you ever seen in an intersection? There's one specifically on McDermott in 75. Birds have infested this intersection. Sparrows, thousands, maybe possibly millions of birds are always on the trees in that intersection. And yet, your Father's providing for them every day. Sparrows, they don't have rational thoughts the way we do. They care nothing like we do of worrying where the next meal is going to come from. Do you realize this? They have no idea where their next meal is going to come from, but your Heavenly Father provides for them. They don't gather. They don't store into barns for winter. Although I guess some animals with the hibernation patterns do that somewhat. But the point is, God's care is over the earth. Even the spinning of the earth and the gravity, the forces of gravity on the earth, keep everything right. Do you see the point here? This is God's providential care. He's put us here. He's put things where they are, not at random. It seems like at random to us, but it's not at random. God puts things where they are for a purpose and puts you where you are for a purpose at times. And we know from the first chapter of Hebrews, He upholds all things by the word of His power. Amen. And thank God that He does. Because if He didn't, we know what the result would be. Utter chaos, destruction, and death for everything. Look at the birds. God provides for them. Verse 28. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So it's another picture. Look at the flowers. Are you worried about your clothes? How you can replace your old out-of-style clothes with the latest fashions? Are you worried about these things? I hope not. Doesn't mean you can't like fashion. Doesn't mean that you can't replace your clothes. It just means don't worry about these things. God has so clothed the flowers of the field that will be gone in a day or a week or a month. And you think He won't clothe you? Surely He will. He loves us. Verse 30. That's just the point I just made. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Notice here he doesn't say with no faith. He's speaking to those that seem to have some faith. But when they worry about the day-to-day things of life, of their lives, where the food's going to come from? Where am I going to get clothes? They prove that their faith is little. They misunderstand or they don't understand the providence of God, that his hand is on everything, even the hairs of your head. He knows how many. When one falls off, God is keeping count. It's not a surprise to him the things that come about in your lives, whether you lose your job, which I know is a burden, but God is not surprised by that. In fact, he's purposed that it would come to pass. And for you, Christian, for your good, that it would come to pass. These things are hard for us to believe and hard for us to accept. But when trials come upon us, God has said in his word that it will be for good in your life. And this seems like it's the only way we can look at the scripture that says, consider it all joy when you experience trials of many kinds. If we didn't know God was using those things for good, it would not be a joy to us. It would be a burden and make us fearful. Why are these things happening? Verse 31, therefore, do not be anxious. Again, he's repeated this. Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Interesting. The Gentiles seek after these things. Now, what does he mean by this? The Jews didn't seek them? To me, this Gentiles is unbelievers. This is what the world is seeking after. They're looking for clothes and food and drink and filling their minds with worry. And Jesus is telling us, don't worry. That's what the world does. We have a heavenly Father who knows how to give good gifts to his children. And that's what he tells them here. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This is going back to what Jesus was teaching before about money and how you can't love both. You can't seek them both. You can't love your earthly possessions and are constantly trying to store up more and more and more and more. Oh, I'm increased with goods. And then at the same time, oh, I love the Lord. He is what I'm seeking. You can't seek both. I've taught this in Cambodia before, and I'll say it to you too. You know, with the passage of the rich man, the rich young ruler, and Jesus said it's hard for a rich man to get into heaven. And I asked these students, do you want to be rich? And they all said, yes. And I said, well, Jesus said, if you get the desire of your heart in that situation, it will be a stumbling block for your relationship with God. And one student said, I want both. I want to love God and have possessions. We all have a certain amount of possessions, right? And I hope you're using those possessions. I hope you're just not storing them up because it was cool to have and you use it one or two times and then it's just another thing on the shelf to decay, to go out of style. these PDA phones, it's amazing how quickly the most awesome phone you've ever could imagine buying in 6 months, you're like, that thing's a boat anchor. I need the new one. Do you realize this is what businesses are doing? They have to invent a new one, otherwise there's no one else to buy them. They're going to go out of business. But possessions is not who we are. And I hope, dear church, you don't value yourself based on what you have. I have a home. We're not in debt. We have two cars. We have two kids who we've put through college. Those things are possessions too. I hope you realize that. And that you don't base your relationship with God about how well you can store up possessions. Heaven forbid that that's what your relationship with God would be. Seek first the kingdom of God. God knows what you need. For example, we were in need of a vehicle while we were here in the United States. 6 months without a vehicle is hard to do, especially when we want to travel. And we prayed about that and asked God to help us. And God provided one for us. He knows what we need. He knew we were going to need it before we knew we needed it. Do you understand that? I hope you do. I hope that our theology about the sovereignty of God and His providential care informs your thinking. This is what good theologians should teach, that theology matters. It's not just an exercise that we do in church to make ourselves feel like we're knowledgeable. I'm puffed up now. I know all the deep theologies of God. Yet, outside of the church, are you in loose living? If so, those high doctrines that you put in your mind didn't fulfill their purpose. The purpose was to draw you closer to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that you would seek first the kingdom of God. Everything else we know is going to pass away. This is why sometimes we talk about citizenship of the United States. And I'm happy to be an American citizen like Paul was, because it's of great advantage to me. But we are citizens of the kingdom of God. This is what our primary focus should be. And God uses means, and He uses vote, and He uses politicians and all those things to accomplish His will. And we have some responsibilities there. But seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Verse 34, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is the third time Jesus has told us, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. You remember the parable with the seed that fell in four places? And do you remember the one that, because of the worries of life, it became unfruitful? The worries of life choked it, and it wasn't fruitful. Also, I want to say this. The more you store up possessions, the more worried you are about them. When we first moved to Cambodia, we had two suitcases full of stuff, and most of that was clothes and a couple of pots and pans. And if somebody were to break into our place, really we didn't care, except for the fact we were concerned for our lives. But as we've gotten more things over there, and thank y'all for helping us, we've tried to use them as well as we could. As we got a motorcycle and a car and different things, now we're like, did you lock the gate out there? More so than before. We have these possessions now. We're afraid somebody's going to sneak in and get them. Store up treasure in heaven, the Bible says. No thief can get in and take it. something similar has happened. We're staying with Jennifer's parents, and sometimes we leave the garage door open at night just by mistake. We go inside, forget it's open, and some things have disappeared from inside the garage. So now we're all kind of concerned. Did you close the door? Fine, but seek first the kingdom of God. Store your treasures in heaven. And it doesn't mean you can take your gold bullion with you to heaven when you die. That's not the point. Also, I want to talk about this, a caution. This text is not teaching us to have no concern for your family. Oh, you don't have to work. God will provide it for you. That is not what Jesus is teaching here. What he's saying is, don't worry about it. When you think you need X amount of dollars at your job and you're short of that, don't worry about it. God knows what you need already. It does not, this text does not teach laziness. And with reference to your family, the Bible gives us specific instructions to train up your children in the way they should go. God's providence is not a license to say, that's God's work, that's not my work. It is your work. God has commanded us to train up our children in the way they should go. But don't worry about them. God wouldn't have us to be doubtful of his care in that way. God is in control of these things. Psalm 127:2. In vain do you rise early and go to bed late, worrying. Because God gives sleep to his people, to those he loves. Okay, so we've established we're not supposed to worry. And I'm quite confident you knew this before I walked up here today. But what are we supposed to do? If we're not supposed to worry, we do have cares, right? We have concerns and things that if we just let them stay in our minds, they just grow and grow and grow and make us even more worried than we were at the beginning. And thankfully, God is not silent on this. Seek first the kingdom. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. And beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. So what is Paul teaching them and us? The Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious. Just pray with thankfulness to God. Whatever it is that's concerning you, Christian, whatever things are in your mind, and surely you have many worries that I don't know about, or things that could cause you to worry. But don't do it. Pray to God with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Did God not know it before you made it known? No. Jesus said, your Father knows that you need all these things. But this is what Scripture teaches us. God knows what you need before you ask him. And yet, you're supposed to ask him. And I don't know how to write that down on a piece of paper and show you how, when you ask him, that was part of his eternal plan, that your prayer would be the means to how he would go about answering your prayer or doing something. But it's very clear to us. God knows all things that come to pass. He knows the hair on our heads. When a sparrow falls to the earth, God knows it. And how? Why does he know it? Because he's been caring for that animal. He's been holding that thing the whole time. He knows what you need, brothers and sisters. And yet, Scripture tells us, when you have needs, pray to God. Ask him. He'll be pleased if you do that. Verse 8. We're not supposed to worry. We're supposed to pray and thank God. And verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Do you see the point? Think about the goodness of God, the things that you hear, testimonies from brothers and sisters. Don't fill your mind with worry. There are a couple more things that the Bible says about this. I'm sure a lot more than I'll bring to you today. But turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. If I were going to have several weeks of speaking with you, I would probably take a chapter and we would go through it, or a few chapters. But seeing as this is a one-time thing at the moment, it's a topical message. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. One of the things that I've seen in studying for this is humility plays a part in not worrying. And I haven't quite figured out exactly the relationship there, but humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Cast your care, your anxiety on him. He cares for you. Humble yourself. Cast your care on God. It's out of the realm of your control. Many things in this life. In fact, all things. But, you know, as we, for example, Chip, is it in, I'm not sure if you still work for the tire place. I don't think you do work for the tire place anymore. But in the past, it's outside of your control whether folks come in and get tires or not. Really. And many of you have jobs that depend on other people to either buy that product or hire your company to do some sort of service for them. It's out of your control. You have bosses. Some of them don't like you, maybe. Maybe they're not a Christian. Maybe they are, but they just don't like you. That's out of your control. Humble yourself before God. Pray to him with thanksgiving, that he would provide the things and give your mind peace about these things. Also, Hebrews chapter 13. And verse 5 and 6. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. To be content. Some folks are worried because they've bought things that they can't afford. They had to have whatever it was. And now they're worrying, how am I going to pay for this? I got collectors calling me all the time wanting their money. Be content with what you have. Don't fill your mind with worry. Be content. And a lot of these things that would cause us to worry will go away. He will never leave you or forsake you. Be content with what you have. I don't want you to turn to these passages, but I just want to read these to you. I want to remind you of the sovereignty of God. We've been speaking about this already, but I want you to hear it again. Hear it fresh from the Word of God. And we believe this at this church. God is the King of Kings, the Sovereign Lord of Lords, right? Jesus Christ, we've said this many times, but Christ is not His last name. It is a title. King Jesus! Right? Anointed One. Isaiah 14:24, the Lord of Hosts has sworn, as I have planned, so shall it be. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. Proverbs 16:4, the Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. Proverbs 16:1, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. 2 Chronicles 18:33, this is an interesting story. King Ahab decided he was going to disguise himself in the battle. He was going to act like a regular Joe, and surely nothing would happen to him. Remember the prophet of God? Ahab told him, hold him until I come back. And God's prophet said, if you come back, the Lord has not spoken through me. You're not going to come back. And as we read, it says, but a certain man drew his bow at random, quote unquote, random, and struck the king of Israel between the scale armor and the breastplate. Even random things to man, they're not random, right? Even the casting of a lot, it's every decision is of the Lord. He is sovereign. His purposes stand. But I want to encourage you about this also. Jesus is with His people. The Holy Spirit is with His people. The Father is with His church. He's sovereign and He's with you. Man, two combinations there. We must hope in God and have joy in the Lord. Nothing can defeat God's purposes, and He's on our side. What a blessed truth is that. I hope it is to you. God causes all things to work together for good for His children. Matthew 28:20, behold, I'm with you always, to the end of the age. Hebrews 7:24-25, but He holds His priesthood permanently because He continues forever. Speaking of Christ. Consequently, He's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. This is the Lord Jesus. He always lives to make intercession for who? For you, Christian. Day and night, He's next to the Father. making petitions on your behalf. Romans 8:27. He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit is praying for us. God is sovereign over the whole universe. Jesus Christ is praying for us. The Holy Spirit is interceding for us. Romans 8:28, the next verse. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. This passage is a promise to Christians. It's not a promise to unbelievers. Let's make that clear. What we understand about salvation and those who will reject Christ and be damned, all things are not working together for good for that person. In fact, they're working together for the ultimate judgment and condemnation of that person. Don't be confused. Those are promises that we just looked at for the children of God. Brothers and sisters, heirs with Christ. If you've not been reconciled to God, those blessings are not promised to you. All things do not work together for good, but the wrath of God remains on you. This is John 3:36. Those who've not been reconciled to Christ will be judged. And this is a cause for worry, friend. If you're not right with God, you should be concerned, very concerned. As Jennifer said in Sunday school this morning, God is not mocked. You will reap what you've sown. There is one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've not been reconciled to God through Christ, there's no hopeful expectation of the future. And you might be able to deceive yourselves into thinking there is, your education, your good family, your earthly possessions, but I'll tell you, they won't appease God's wrath. They have this view in Cambodia, Buddhism, but many Christians do too. How do you get saved? Do good. Do good. Can you do good? By Jesus Christ, we can do good. By the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, yes, the Father will accept our love and praises and works for Him. But without the mediator, without the God-man, Jesus Christ, no. God will reject you and condemn you on basis of what you've done. And by the way, just a small point, your good works fall short of the glory of God too. Sins, for sure, yes, they fall short. But even your good works, without Christ as your mediator, they are not acceptable to God. Your righteousness, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. It's only in Christ that the promises of God are yes. If Don Epler were here, he would tell us that. He prays that often. In Christ, all the promises of God are yes. They're not yes and no, but yes. But that's not the case for anyone here and anyone in the world who's not been reconciled to God through Christ. The promises of God are not yes for them. Surely I'll be with you and never forsake you. That promise is not to the wicked, but to God's church. So, that's really the message. Don't worry. Don't store up treasures on the earth. and worry about clothes and food and drink. Your Father knows you need them. He's sovereign over the affairs of the earth. He takes care of the flowers and the sparrows. To use a familiar saying, bird brain, right? They don't know anything. They don't know what's going on. God takes care of them. Humble yourself. Yourselves. God will care for you too. And even though you don't understand how, just thank Him. And when you have cares in your mind, pray. It's doubt when you worry and worry and worry. God is not pleased by that. He's told us 3 times in this passage, forbidden it, do not do it. Trust Him, thank Him, pray to Him. Cast your cares upon Him. And for you, stranger to God's promises, be reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus, that all the promises of God will be yes in Him for you. Because the Scripture says that everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. Please pray with me. Father, we thank You again for this good word to us that Jesus spoke, that He reminded us how You care for the earth every day. All the animals, all the water, all the fertilization, everything that happens on the earth and has been happening, Father, many, many years and months and days and hours. Father, Your good hand is in charge of these things. Help Your church not to worry. Help us, Father, to pray to You, to make it known before You the things that are concerning us, and then that we would trust and wait for Your answer. And Father, be with anyone here who is a stranger to Your promises that have not been reconciled to Christ, Father, that You would work in them, that they would consider these things deeply. And accompanied with Your Holy Spirit, Father, that You'd open their hearts, that they'd believe and trust in the Lord Jesus, that they'd be saved. Father, help us this week as we go back to everyday life, away from our brothers and sisters in body, that we'd be in much prayer for one another, and that we would seek first the kingdom of God. We pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.